From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. It's another wonderful day in the Diocese of Sacramento. Ministry Days is coming up. Go to ministrydays.com Friday, September 28th, Saturday, September 29th. Most people come just one day. You can come both days. A lot of school teachers come, Catholic school teachers come on Friday the 28th. Takes place at St. Francis Catholic High School. Dr. Hossman Ospino is one of the keynote speakers. Father Robert Spitzer is another one of Father and Dr. Robert Spitzer is another one of the keynotes. Dr. Spitzer will also be presenting some workshops. And just some great workshops out there. So and you get to sign up for your own workshops. You can look ahead of time. So go to ministrydays.com, ministrydays.com to sign up. And you'll meet other Catholics from around the vast 20-county Diocese of Sacramento. But right now we're going outside the Diocese of Sacramento to the Diocese of Santa Rosa, and we're joined by Stephen Morris. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How
or
are you?
Good afternoon, or whatever it is, depending on when people are listening.
Right out. Beautiful.
Greatly appreciate you taking time to be with us. Tell us first and foremost, what do you do there in the Diocese of Santa Rosa?
Specifically, youth and young adult ministry.
Oh, very good.
And that's kind of led us to many conversations with our Protestant brothers and sisters of, what are we doing with our youth in this culture? And that's formed a lot of relationships.
Well, I presume you know Kevin Staskow here at the Diocese of Sacramento.
Yeah, the newly appointed deacon, yes.
Great yes, the mine. Newly appointed deacon, newly ordained
yes.
deacon, yes.
Yes, yes.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Stephen, I'm presuming you're the guy, I keep reading, you're the guy who has put together this commemoration.
Well, I certainly hope the Holy Spirit is the guy.
I suspect you're right.
Guy.
Yeah.
Tell yeah, us, through a lot of the Protestant relationships, post fires, all we hear around the country is when you have a disaster like this,
yeah.
it's about the Christian communities coming together. So,
right.
yeah, I'm part of that.
So, October 7, tell us about the event that you and the committee and a whole bunch of people now, I guess you were the brainchild or the Holy Spirit was, and what's going to happen on October 7?
Sure. We are going to have a prayer event. We originally thought maybe a big festival, outdoor thing, but how do you commemorate such a tragic event? So
and we're talking about the anniversary of the terrible fires last fall.
Yes. Yeah, they broke out October 8th, Sunday night, October 8th.
Hmm.
So this coming year, Sunday falls on October 7th. So we're gonna gather as many thousands of Christians as we can on Cardinal Newman High School field,
mm-hmm.
Because Cardinal Newman High School is a central point for where all the fires broke out. There are three major communities surrounding Cardinal Newman where we lost about 5,000 homes.
And Cardinal Newman itself was damaged a bit?
We lost 80% of the classrooms.
Oh, wow, more than a bit.
All the administration buildings as
mm-hmm.
well. Yeah, so the scars of the fires are still on all the hills surrounding the school, too. So we thought that was a perfect place to come together and bring down the Holy Spirit as a Christian body of Christ.
Has the school been rebuilt yet?
That was definitely the work of the Holy Spirit. The school will have a few years of rebuilding permanent standing structures.
Mm-hmm.
But within 2 short months of the fires, through Thanksgiving, through Christmas, we were able to put 30 portable classrooms onto the properties that weren't burnt out.
Wow.
Through the hard work of the facilities team. And the school was back in session at the end of January.
Oh, I remember right around that time, my daughter was playing freshman basketball and was playing in a tournament in Napa, and the first team they played, this was girls basketball, was Cardinal Newman.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, the
outpouring from the variety of schools locally as well as across the country for Cardinal Newman. And Cardinal Newman borders St. Rose Elementary School that lost its preschool and underwent a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
The outpouring, Christian and Catholic schools alike for those communities is truly in a world, in a society right now where everyone seems to be yelling at each other and divisive, was just a really humbling way to be supported by the outside community.
We've all seen the pictures, especially the aerial photos, and I everybody says it looks like a bomb hit, and indeed that's what it looks like, and it's still, you know, shake our head. We don't think of an urban area. You think if somebody's living in a remote in the mountains and there's a forest fire, maybe the cabin gets burned down, but to see whole neighborhoods, I mean, what was over, as you said, over 5,000 structures in Santa Rosa?
And just in Sonoma County, the fire damage at that time, the North Bay fires stretching into Napa as well.
Into Napa,
it was about 6,200 homes. So, and we, for example, of the Catholic schools, there's about, including Cardinal Newman, I think there was about 150 to 200 families that lost their homes. And the real tragedy is not just the home loss for the student and then the school loss, but you're talking about families that lost everything they own, including maybe their jobs and their place of employment.
I know a Walmart burned down, a hotel burned down.
Kmart. And two hotels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was devastating. You go through these neighborhoods and these park communities, and it's just unbelievable what was lost.
Has any of it been rebuilt, or is it still in the very early stages?
I would say every 2 weeks we probably double in the rebuilding projects. There's just not enough construction materials and people to get it done, and there's a long road to go. We have 10 years of rebuilding to rebuild some of these communities.
Where do all those people who come into work, where are they going to live?
That's what we're trying to figure out. Yeah. We're rebuilding as fast as we can. But, we've kind of, the whole idea of hope and our event, Together in Hope, Sign of Hope, Rebuilding in Hope. My favorite was when I saw a billboard from a credit union that had a big sign that said Hope. So hopefully this virtue of hope, this Christian message that we all know and love will spread throughout. And I think the small little spots of rebuilding, whether it's someone's home or a bigger industrial building, those are all hopeful signs, because it takes a lot of hands to get this done.
So tell us about on the 7th, what is the program going to be?
Sure. It's a collaboration of about 20 different churches, as well as a number of Catholic churches on top of that, and leadership of Bishop Basha and a number of churches. We started out saying, okay, what can we do? Is this a celebration? Is this a funeral? What makes sense to recognize the event, because it needs to be recognized, but at the same time, we're not celebrating the event. So we've settled on a one-hour prayer event on the field to kind of go through the steps of prayer. We're using the ACTS prayer method: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And each of those time periods, maybe 10 to 15 minutes each, we'll rely on the Psalms, and we'll start each session with a little Lectio Divina on a Psalm that emphasizes each of those methods of prayer. And we really rely on the Psalms, as it's taught most recently by Benedict XVI, as a way to give the human language words to then return back to God. So that was agreed upon by everybody. And the Holy Spirit working through all the Protestant pastors and Catholic lay leaders and deacons, the Holy Spirit working through us all to have really sensitive conversations about what can we all agree on as far as prayer goes. So there won't be any Eucharistic adoration or communion celebrations, but there'll definitely be a voice lifting up to God in prayer as we all come together. And then after the reflection on the Psalms, the plan is for us to do a large Our Father and share the sign of peace. And then I think we're going to close down the time period with some praise and worship music.
Our Father's just about the prayer virtually every Christian denomination can agree with, since Jesus gave us that prayer.
We certainly hope so, yeah.
We might have to argue over whether it's trespasses or debts.
but I think that's the one we can agree on. I think you're right. So that was like I said, the sensitivity of these conversations and the amount of pastors that were open to have conversations to work with the Catholic Church has been truly, truly a humbling experience.
And nine pastors lost their homes?
Yeah. In the churches just within the Santa Rosa area, we had nine pastors lose their homes. Yeah. Wow. And they got together shortly after the fires and had a prayer service for them. And there's been a number of different groups getting together. There is what's called Sonoma County Pastors United, mm-hmm. which is about 40-plus churches that, you know, a lot of these small congregations don't have the time, talent, and treasure to collaborate like we mm-hmm. in Catholic Church do. I mean, just Catholic Charities alone is an arm of the body of Christ that we sometimes take for granted.
Right.
And they don't have that. The Protestant connectivity is lacking in a lot of cases. So it takes a disaster to prepare you for a disaster. And now we have a number of pastors getting together to see how they can collaborate on different efforts so we're not duplicating. One of the fantastic efforts, for example, it seems small, but we still have 70 families living in trailer parks on the fairgrounds in Santa Rosa. Mm-hmm. And so bringing water to them and just spending time with those families and in some cases praying with those families is an arm that's worked off of this Sonoma County Pastors United to minister to them and bring the word to them.
Wow.
So I would like to think that the Holy Spirit didn't act as fire, but watching the collaborative efforts of these Christian pastors host fires has been awe-inspiring.
Were any churches, synagogues, mosques, Catholic churches, any of them destroyed in fire?
Yeah, there was a Seventh-day Adventist church mm-hmm. in the Mark Springs area that, mm-hmm. that they did lose that building. And there was a number of churches threatened. The only Catholic church that was threatened was Holy Spirit mm-hmm. Church, which was in the east side of Santa Rosa, kind of on the way towards Sonoma.
Uh-huh. So in addition to the city of Santa Rosa, which is obviously the major city in Sonoma County, were any other communities affected by the fire in Sonoma County? I know in Napa there were.
Yeah, in the northern sections, it did creep up to Windsor. Windsor uh-huh. had some evacuations. Our Lady of Guadalupe Church up in the Windsor was affected. A number of other Christian churches, communities were evacuated. And then even down towards the southern end of Sonoma, Roanoke Park, Cotati area, there was some evacuations mm-hmm. on the east side. The mm-hmm. fires kind of jumped hilltop to hilltop.
Yeah,
and it stretched pretty far, and then all of a sudden you're in a town where you think you're safe, and then you get an advisory evacuation notice. I myself did in the southern part of Sonoma. And it was just an eerie couple weeks there.
And it actually started in Napa County and came over the ridge?
Technically in Calistoga.
In Calistoga. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tubbs Lane in Calistoga. Beautiful place to sip wine.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not a good place for fire.
Yeah.
So just there in Calistoga, and you know, everyone recalls that Sunday afternoon as they were kind of mourning the loss of summer, and as they sat on their patios. I've heard this story a number of times from a number of people, and everyone as they sat there on that Sunday evening said, wow, it's just a weird warm wind mm-hmm. coming from the east happening.
Mm-hmm.
And a few hours later, it was just smoke everywhere. So it crept from the Tubbs fire, excuse me, crept from Tubbs Lane. And what people say is it moved about 50 miles per hour
wow.
up over the hill from Calistoga to Santa Rosa. So they have it marked at 9:45 on a Sunday night, October 8th, started at Tubbs Lane. And in a
and
few
Tubbs
short
Lane
hours,
is right in Calistoga?
In Calistoga, yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then a few hours later, it was threatening Santa Rosa, the north end of Santa Rosa, and they hit the evacuation of Santa Rosa, the north end of Santa Rosa. By 1:30 in the morning, it had jumped Highway 101, and then there's the devastating pictures you see by 2 o'clock in the morning. It had consumed Coffee Park.
Wow. And Coffee Park's just a regular urban neighborhood.
Absolutely. And what's really eerie is the actual Chancery office of Bishop Vasha is in an industrial park right next to that Kmart that burned down. So the fire jumps 101, hits that Kmart, and for some reason leapt over the industrial park and hit Coffee Park just half a mile past.
And as I understand it, Bishop Vasha was working out of his car.
Yes. he has a blog post that I think he had pulled over for Signal, pulled over somewhere to update his blog post as he was just traveling around. Many news outlets don't report all that he did, but I remember seeing a picture of him saying mass for the National Guard at one point. Mm-hmm. He was from small community, truly pastoring as he does in a very personal, intimate way.
Hmm. Well, I remember interviewing him years ago when he was up in the Diocese of Baker.
Yeah. I'm personally close by now, actually. I'm up in Oregon as we speak.
Oh, are you really? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in Grants Pass.
Oh,
I have a
goodness.
Close friend of mine who just started her battle with cancer. She's got stage 4 cancer. So I'm up here being Uncle Steve for the weekend to take care of the kids.
Offer our prayers for her.
Please do. Her name's Renee, and she's actually lost 2 young children already, and now this. So she's going to give Job a run for her money as far as suffering goes.
Oh, that's you're touching all of us. And they've certainly had their fires in the Grants Pass area too.
It's a little eerie to be up here and deal with the smoke.
Yeah.
In fact, just to get up here, going through that new Delta fire in Redding.
Did you leave after the Delta fire started?
I left right about the same time. Detoured myself through the beautiful town of Eureka.
Oh, you went up 101.
Yes, yeah, and then through Crescent City. So it was almost like a work call to drive through.
I was reading about the Delta fire last night, and they've closed almost 50 miles of I-5 from just north of Redding to all the way to Mount Shasta City.
You got to wonder, all these fires across California, do Californians need to wake up a little bit here? What's going on here?
I grew up in California, and I certainly remember, fires in the summer, but not like we're seeing now.
Not like this. No, not like this.
Absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah. But that's, I kind of came up with a saying, as you kind of mentioned before, driving through some of these areas where it's just suburban homes and just seeing all that was devastated, to think that 5,000 plus homes were lost in the middle of the night from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning, and only 44 lives were lost. Now, absolutely, every one of those lives, precious, I hate to say the word only,
but
to think of all that was saved, to think of the people that in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning, and sometimes their underwear, running out of their house and banging on their neighbor's door and saving them, I firmly believe God saved more than we lost. I truly do.
Yeah. And then, to see it almost all repeated in Redding in the car fire. Just stunning. Well, our prayers certainly go to everybody in the Diocese of Santa Rosa. And give your friend's name again in Grants Pass.
Renee.
Mm-hmm. Our prayers go to her, too. And to you, Stephen, for all you do, and we certainly appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, and we look forward to great things happening coming out of that gathering on October the 7th.
We're hoping for miracles, and like I said, in a world that seems like everyone's divided, let's come together and stand before our Maker and Creator.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is, I'm sure miracles are coming.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks, Stephen.
Thank you so much.
God bless. Have a safe ride back to California.
God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, too. That's Stephen Morris from the Diocese of Santa Rosa, and they will have that gathering on October 7th with all the pastors involved, affected by the fire, and everybody in Santa Rosa, of course, affected by the fire, and that will take place at on the grounds of Cardinal Newman High School, which was devastated by the fire.
I was going to come on real quick and just remind everybody, we had talked last week about some the stuff with the general meeting we had, and we wanted to make sure we got the word out to people who haven't heard yet of how to get the podcast of the show.
Right.
So I wanted to come on and just remind everybody really quick again, if you're not computer savvy or tech savvy with your phones, have a friend help you who is, or email me at radio@scd.org or call me at 916-733-0107 and I will talk you through it. But if you want to do it. I mean, if you're listening to this right now and you're listening to it not on the radio at night, you already kind of figured it out probably. But if you haven't, or you have friends who you want listening to it and you had someone show you how to do it or vice versa, this is how you do it. You go on your phone. If it's on a Google phone, you'll go to, meaning Android phone, you go to Google Plus and you listen, you go to podcasts and you type in Sacramento Bishop's Hour. If you're listening to it on a, iPhone, you just go to the podcast app, which is like a purple app, you go to, click on that, and again type in Sacramento Bishop's Hour, and you'll see a little button there that says subscribe. Click on subscribe, and you can, the show will show up in your subscription feed, which means you'll only see it if you click on that icon again. It won't, you won't see it showing up on your phone like a text message every day. It won't bother you. It just will show you that you have the ones that you can listen to if you still want to. Also, there are two other places where you can find the show besides the radio and those two podcast spots. One of them is called Podbean. That's Podbean, and that's also a podcast app. Sometimes people have said if they have an Android phone, it's actually easier to use that. So podbean.com, Sacramento Bishop's Hour is what you look up. And then, of course, there is the scd.org website, which you can scroll down, find the Bishop's Hour, click on that, and there is a player that will play the show right there. You can listen on your phone and your computer at home that way. So just want to make sure everybody, you know, and spread the word, because shows like this grow because you spread the word. So unlike a lot of traditional radio shows where it grows because there's a audience for that show, audience for that station, what have you, this is purely an audience for the show. So be loud and proud about being a Bishop's Hour supporter. Put it on your social media. You know, you can make it a link. Click on there. Tell people to listen, subscribe, do what they have to do to like it. It is something that you can do to spread the word of the Bishop's Hour.
Very good. Thanks, Gabe. And the Red Mass coming up in October. If you'd like to go to the dinner, the sponsored by the St. Thomas More Society, where the St. Thomas More Award winner will be honored, contact Gina McAdam, the Associate Director of Donor Relations here at the Diocese. Her phone number is 916-733-0274, 916-733-0274. We were able to sit down with Eric Hintz, who is a previous recent deacon, Eric Hintz, a new deacon, newly ordained, and he was one of the recipients recently of the St. Thomas More Award at the dinner. So we're going to bring you that interview now. And we're pleased and honored to have Eric Hintz join us here, deacon Eric Hintz.
As of June 30th.
So you're a brand new deacon.
Brand new, 2 months on the job.
A member of the clergy.
It's hard to hear that in the same sentence with my own name, but it's true.
Wow. Why, pull that mic just a little bit closer there. What made you decide, you're an attorney, what made you decide to undergo the long and difficult journey to become a deacon?
I was asked several times over the years, at times there was no way I could do it. So the third time I was asked by Pastor Dan Looney, my former pastor, well, Dan Looney.
Used to be my former pastor in Davis,
right.
Yeah.
This was 7-8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what the heck, I'll throw my hat in the ring.
Yeah.
And I did, and I never looked back.
Wow. That's a real commitment.
It is. It's not. I mean, it should be a challenging program. It is very challenging, especially for the guys that are still working.
Right.
So,
and what does it involve to become a deacon?
In my case, I can speak to that. I had to, even before I began the formation program, had to catch up on my mm-hmm. theology and took a lot of basic catechist classes around the diocese and did a lot of reading and. And I entered the program and spent a lot of late nights studying.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've talked to people about it. I said, man, I need to really bone up.
Some of the guys had prior seminary formation experiences.
Right, right.
So we didn't all come in equal in
yeah.
terms of our
yeah.
knowledge of the faith.
And then did the bishop assigns you to a parish?
The expectation is you're coming out of a parish, and most of the guys were sent back to the parish that sent them, so to speak.
Right.
But not all. But I'm assigned at Holy Spirit Parish here in Land Park.
Very good. And that's your parish.
That's my home parish too.
And is that's where you met Father Looney?
No, I met Father Looney when he married me.
Oh wow.
38 years ago.
Oh my goodness. Where was he at the time?
He was the associate pastor at St. Anthony's in the Pocket area.
Oh, sure. Right? Yeah, yeah, on Florin Road.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So we go way back.
Yeah, we had him in Davis, and my sister then had him in Vacaville.
Then he retired out of Holy Spirit.
Right. Wow. Well, so you're assigned there. What sort of, I don't know, duty is the right word. What sort of things do you do?
Well, we assist at Mass, give homilies occasionally, about once a month. My particular big job for this year is to take over the RCIA coordinator's role. So the previous couple who had come from St. James and Davis, Bill and Teresa White, I don't know if you know them.
Yeah.
They retired this year, and my first big assignment was to take over their job, which is a big job.
Yeah.
So coordinating the RCIA program, and we start with our first meeting tomorrow night at 6:30.
Oh, wow. So. Wow. That's a big job.
Yeah.
Very big job. Well, And you're a practicing attorney,
practicing criminal defense attorney here in town.
So is there conflict there?
No, not at all. I think the vocation of being a deacon is very compatible with my occupation.
Yeah, can't hear confessions though, so I don't have to worry about that.
No. If you commit a crime, I can hear that confession, but I can't absolve you of it. I can defend you on it. But
exactly. Yeah. Have you always been in criminal defense?
Yeah. Well. Early in my career, I did medical malpractice insurance defense work, but for the last 30-plus years, I've been doing criminal defense exclusively.
Wow. Did you grow up in the Sacramento area?
Out in Elk Grove.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It used to be out in Elk Grove, didn't it?
I don't recognize it when I go out there anymore, but I graduated from Elk Grove High School in 1977 when there was one high school.
Now there's like nine?
At least.
Wow. I told somebody the other day, I said, I remember when Elk Grove had elk, you know.
Right. It was a four-way stop when I grew
up there. Yeah, that's right. You know, milepost 10 kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It is. I went to an event at Good Shepherd about a year ago, and I was driving into Elk Grove. I think I was on Elk Grove Boulevard, and I saw the population sign. I think it said 173,000 or something.
It was under 5,000 when I grew up out there. So, and I see all those new developments are named after the families who sold their land to developers, and they're all kids I went to high school with.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I know. I live in Davis, and the same thing's happening. You know, I thought when I was a kid, I should have been buying land instead of baseball cards.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
But well, that's wonderful. So you're here partly, at least, to talk about the Red Mass and the St. Thomas More Award, of which you were the recipient last year.
I was the lucky recipient last year, and I'm on the committee this year that selected this year's honoree, and I'm privileged to be able to announce who it is when you ask me the question.
Well, we have, let's see, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You were the 12th,
right?
Like the apostles. Now we're going to have a 13th.
Yeah.
Began in 2006 with Jim Mize.
Judge Jim Mize.
And I remember being at that dinner and just
I was there.
They were kind of reading all his credits and holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the competition's getting tougher every year though. I mean, this year's winner had plenty of excellent competition.
Talk about who it goes to. We'll leave a little suspense here as to who it is, but what are the criteria? Member of the bar,
or theoretically the legislature or the bench.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I'm not aware of any legislators getting the award, but it's pretty much our history in Sacramento has been members of the bench, judiciary, and members of the bar.
Wow.
Criteria is you have to be a practicing Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be nominated typically by your own pastor or someone who knows you well and knows your Catholic credentials, and then you have to have a legal resume, body of work, so to speak, that in balance puts you in the pool of candidates for the award.
Right. And it's based on what? Public service? Service to the community?
Many of the past honorees, serve the church faithfully and serve with distinction in their profession.
Right.
So
public
service is one component.
And it's presented by the Thomas More Society?
It's presented by Bishop Soto.
Okay, very good.
I believe, historically took it over from the St. Thomas.
But it's sponsored by the St.
Yeah, they're associated with it loosely.
Right. Very good. So this year's winner is?
Angela M. Lai.
How does she spell her last name?
She spells her last name L-A-I, but it's pronounced Lai.
Mm-hmm. Angela M. Lai. And tell us a little bit about her.
I don't know Angela personally. I've seen her resume, which is impressive off the charts. So I feel very fortunate she wasn't nominated last year. I wouldn't have gotten it. But I believe she's a past president of the Sacramento County Bar.
Okay.
She's a young mother.
Mm-hmm.
I think she recently had at least one child recently.
Right.
And she's got a resume a mile long, complete with legal accomplishments and public service accomplishments and community service and service to the church, obviously. And
very good. And do you know her parish?
The cathedral.
Oh, the cathedral.
Yes. Really?
People forget that the cathedral is a parish.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Excellent. And she will be honored?
Tuesday, October 9th at 5 o'clock p.m. The Red Mass begins at 5:15 at the cathedral, immediately followed by a dinner at the Sutter Club.
Right.
Tickets are available, $75 a piece, and sponsorships are also available if someone's interested in sponsoring a table or underwriting the event. Call Gina McAdam at the diocese.
Very good. And Gina's number is 916-733-0274, or you can email her at G McAdam, and that's GMCADAM at SCD.org. Tell us a little bit about the Red Mass, the history of the Red Mass. Generally, it's in the fall. It used to mimic the start of the Supreme Court.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's in the fall every year. In October. It's been in October every year that I've attended. There's a large mass attended by members of the legal community. It's open to all. Certainly, you don't have to be a member of the legal profession to attend the mass or the dinner. Bishop Soto presides. It's quite an impressive event.
I remember going and running into one of my old professors there. And he was Jewish.
Yeah.
And I said, Jerry, what are you doing here? And he says, I never miss the Red Mass.
Right. It feels good to see members of your profession showing the faith in public.
Right. You know. Right. So the it's judges, legislators. Jerry Brown come?
Attorneys. I don't believe Jerry Brown has been, but I could be wrong. I don't recall seeing him there.
I remember one time seeing Gray Davis at the cathedral.
Okay.
But
not at the Red Mass.
Not at the Red Mass. I think it was after 9/11. I believe he was governor then. There was an event at the cathedral that I think Bishop Wiegand sponsored right after 9/11, and I remember Gray Davis was there. But yeah, you're right. It's a very impressive mass, an impressive ceremony. Yeah. So, and then the dinner?
The dinner, as always, at the Sutter Club. It's a wonderful meal, and there's typically a presentation by the honoree. Judge Mize has traditionally served as kind of the master of ceremonies, and he is a funny guy. And
yes.
He kind of turns it into a little roast on occasion, keeps it light.
Well, that's great. Some of the other winners, Judge Jim Mize, Michael Virga, Rita Spillane, Dan McVeigh, Joe Simkowick.
Deacon Joe Simkowick.
Deacon Joe Simkowick, that's right. Lawrence Garcia.
Larry Garcia.
Larry Garcia. Paul Starkey from St. Vincent de Paul Society. John Kinney. Troy Nunley as a federal judge.
Judge, yeah.
Louis Morrow.
Appellate Justice.
Robert Fracha.
Former presiding judge of the Solano County Superior Court.
Okay, and Eric Hintz.
I'm in good company.
Boy, you are. You're going straight to heaven. So, in a practice of law, you know, it's funny, you know, so many, you know, there's a lot of trials in the news right now, but in most states, you still need, you know, it's a majority. I mean, it's not a majority, it's unanimous.
In all states that I'm aware of.
I think Oregon is 10-2. I believe. I could be wrong. I think Oregon and Louisiana are the two that it's not unanimous. That was a few years ago, though. But
unfortunately, I don't practice in those jurisdictions.
But,
so I couldn't tell you.
And you I remember saying to my wife the other day, I don't know how you get 12 people
to agree on anything.
To agree on anything on what day of the week it is.
That's
you know we are
the one thing we have going for us as criminal defense attorneys is you know it does take 12 in California.
We're and I think in virtually all states, I think that just the I think there are two exceptions, but that may have changed. But is that does that work well still given the divisions?
I want to say yes. Mm-hmm. There's no other alternative method for deciding.
No, this is in a criminal case. In a civil case,
criminal
it's
context,
different.
There's different rules for the civil side. But in a criminal case, it's got to be a unanimous verdict of all 12 to convict, as it should be.
Right. And do you find that that works well?
It works as well as any other.
If you were a prosecutor, would you like the
if I were a prosecutor, I'd like it to be 9-3 or something.
How about 7-5?
Yeah, 7-5. Whatever. Yeah. But as a defense attorney, it works well.
Yeah.
95% of all cases resolve without a jury trial, in my experience. Most of the people who are guilty find a way to resolve their case through plea bargaining and sentence bargaining.
Right.
5% go to trial. And usually it's because either there's no acceptable negotiated resolution from the defendant's perspective or because someone really has something to present to a jury consistent with their innocence.
Do you feel that the system that we have now, when a person is truly innocent, that in most cases they're found not guilty?
I don't know the answer to that. When you truly have an innocent person, you want to be sharing your defense case, at least I do, with the prosecution up to the day of trial.
Right.
Trying to convince them to dismiss.
To dismiss,
And I just read this week, I forget where, about that Butte County couple that was accused of abusing their child.
Right.
And those defense attorneys
sat
with the DA, the elected DA in Butte County, right prior to trial and shared their defense information, and the DA, to his credit, looked at it carefully and ultimately dismissed this case after 5 or 6 years of litigation.
Right.
So that case, the system works. So if you can convince the prosecutor that your client is innocent, that's the best way to go. That's the best way to go.
Yeah, indeed. Wow. It's do you ever find ethical conflicts with your Catholic faith and who you're defending?
I haven't.
That's good.
No.
That's a great answer.
We're taught not to judge
in
our faith.
Right.
And I think that's important as a criminal defense attorney, too. You're not judging your clients for what they've done. You can't. You got to treat them as a human being who's maybe made a mistake, caught up in a situation, and they often feel very remorseful for what they've done.
Right. Are our Superior Court judges going to get up to the pearly gates and God's going to say, I told you to judge not?
I have a lot of respect for the judges. I don't know that I would want to be in that role myself. I would rather be an advocate for a position than to have to make those decisions on a daily basis.
I have a friend who's I know several in Yolo County, and it's just
I know them all in Yolo County and Sacramento County.
My
brother-in-law, Sam McAdam, is a judge in Yolo County.
Yeah, you know, and that's just like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's like there are bad cases everywhere. We've had some really horrendous cases in Yolo County, and yet, I know these judges. They've got a heart, and they've got a soul, and they – you know, and it's not, and I mean, they're going to administer the law, but there is some judicial discretion as to with sentencing, et cetera. And boy, those are tough decisions, especially when you're dealing with maybe an 18 or 19 year old kid.
Right.
You know, it's just real. They've never done anything I disagree with that I say, well, that wasn't right. But I just still think it's really tough job.
We're seeing the criminal justice system, the pendulum is swinging back now, having swung way far in one direction over the last 25 years, and now we're seeing restorative justice enter into the conversation.
Right.
The sentencing enhancements that have gotten to the point that they exceed the base term for the crime, for example. You know, some of those are being relooked at by the legislature, and I think that's all healthy. We've got to figure out a way to take some of the money we spend on prison incarceration and spend it on prevention and education and other things that can benefit the community more than locking people up for a long, long time.
Right. And my feeling is what, 99% of the people who are incarcerated are one day going to be walking among us again.
Yeah, I don't know what the statistic is, but I think we do need to recognize that. And to go into the state prison system as it now exists is a scary thing for most people.
And to think that whatever life situations sent them to prison in the first place are only exacerbated now when they get out, and it's even harder to get a job, and it's even, it's almost a guarantee they're going to fall back into a life of crime.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Eric, it's great to have you here.
Nice to be here again,
Bob. Congratulations on winning last year. Do you get to pass the green jacket or anything?
I don't know. I don't think so. The red something.
The red something. Yeah.
Well, there's actually a big trophy that, not a trophy, but a image of St. Thomas More.
Right.
So I don't think I have to give it back. I think it stays with me.
You get to keep it.
Got my name on the plaque.
Oh, very good. Very good. And this year's winner, we're just really honored that you announced it here.
Yeah, Angela Lai. Angela M. Lai. L-A-I.
L-A-I. Well, we'll look forward to seeing her again. The Red Mass, everybody's invited, 5:15 p.m. on Tuesday, October the 9th at the Cathedral with Bishop Soto presiding. And then the dinner afterwards at the Sutter Club, and tickets for that are $75 each. It's a really a great event. Call Gina McAdam at 916-733-0274. Eric, you're supposed to be in court at 10 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay. I figured you probably were. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care, Bob.
Yeah. God bless your work. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Welcome to you. Welcome back. And appreciate you all being with us here on the Bishop's Hour. The St. Vincent de Paul Society is they're having their annual walk for the poor. Just go to the St. Vincent de Paul website, and you can learn all about the various walks that will be going on throughout the Diocese of Sacramento, September 22nd, St. Joseph in Rio Vista, St. Vincent Ferrar, also at Our Lady of Grace School in West Sacramento. Now, that's separate from the parish. Then on September the 27th, St. Basil the Great Vallejo Walk, and then on September 29th, the Chico Friends of the Poor Walk, Holy Family in Citrus Heights Walk, Holy Family in Weed Walk, also St. Joseph in Lincoln Walk, and St. Catherine Drexel in Amador County Walk, all on September 29th, Saturday. They're really looking for event sponsors to help with the this is all to raise money, and this will help them raise the money. They're looking for event sponsors at $50. That would be an event sponsor. You get a mention here on the Bishop's Hour and on other areas of Catholic radio. Your name will be and logo will be displayed as an event sponsor at the event and also on the council website. Gold sponsor is $500. A silver sponsor is $250. And a bronze sponsor is $100 and or any amount that you would like to contribute, that would be great. You can go to their website, svdp-sacramento.org, or just Google St. Vincent de Paul Sacramento, and it'll come up, and there's a form there, a sponsor form. So that would be very, very helpful to them if you can participate in the walk and if you can be a sponsor as well. Well, and so many great things the St. Vincent de Paul store is doing. They're really working on even more changes to their already wonderful St. Vincent de Paul thrift store, 2296 Watt Avenue, right here in Sacramento. 2275 Watt Avenue in Sacramento. They work very, very hard there and provide a lot of free or low-cost clothing, household goods, furniture, and beds. Beds for refugee relocation, counseling resources, and direct assistance. They provide through the Ozanam Resource Center and job placement and training through store employment. So it's all really good things they're doing there at the store. And if you're ever looking for a bargain, go in there and shop, because there are some wonderful bargains there as well. Well, the Catholic Ministry Days is coming up at the end of the month, September 28th, 29th. You can go to ministrydays.com. But there, in addition to some great keynote speakers, you get to pick your workshops, and a lot of really good workshops coming up. For instance, Accompanying Our Neighbor, A Story of Hope with Thomas Awiapo. The presentation will involve sharing Thomas's life story of struggle and survival, a very interesting and inspiring story, a story of hope and how that has impacted and continues to impact his faith and his work. He will conclude by entreating the audience to allow God to use them as his instruments of love and care for our brothers and sisters most in need. Lindsay West will present Can You Hear Me Now? Strengthening the Spiritual and Prayer Lives of Middle Schoolers. So important to those of us who are parents and to the future of the church. Have you ever tried getting middle schoolers to pray only to have at least one student that doesn't know what's going on, a couple of students that mock the prayer, and many students that couldn't care less? Whether you're a youth minister, teacher, a director of religious education, or play some other role in the faith lives of middle schoolers, it's possible to lead middle schoolers deeper than most people imagine. In this session, they'll discuss and practice techniques, styles, and approaches to helping middle schoolers develop and deepen these techniques to help deepen maturing spiritual and prayer lives. Get ready to think, work, and share ideas you can bring back to your parish or school. That's a workshop by Lindsay West. The Joy of Love in a Culture of Like by Andrew Brown. Teenagers like everything these days, yet all those likes can't add up to a fulfillment of authentic love. Do young people know that God has been proposing to us since the beginning of time? Do teenagers know we are an echo of God's love? Do teens understand the depth of being made in God's image and likeness? Perhaps we have a vocation crisis because we have a love crisis. And Amoris Laetitia, Joy of Love, Pope Francis provides insights, challenges, and opportunities for us to uncover the deepest longing of the human heart. This workshop will equip leaders to respond with charity and clarity to empower the youth to see their dignity, worth, and how to radiate that love in a world. This is just wonderful. Equip in a world of like. That will be presented by Andrew Brown. The keynote speaker, one keynote speaker will be Dr. Hoffman Ospino, who is a assistant professor of Hispanic ministry and religious education at Boston College School of Theology and Ministry. His research concentrates on the dialogue of this interchange upon Catholic theological education, catechesis, and ministry. He also contributes research on Hispanic ministry, which is yielding important fruits and changing key conversation about the American Catholic experience in the 21st century. Also, Father Robert Spitzer will be a keynote speaker on Saturday in English. He is a Catholic priest of the Jesuit order and is currently the president of the Magis Center and the Spitzer Center down in Orange County. He was president of Gonzaga University for about 11 or 12 years. He has made many TV appearances, including Larry King Live, actually debated Stephen Hawking and Leonard Mlodinow. And the Today Show, debating on the topic of active euthanasia. The History Channel, In God and the Universe. He is a true, true scientist and just fabulous, fabulous public speaker and a great educator as well. He is going to be also generously, in addition to keynoting, he's going to present twice on the science and the Shroud of Turin. Shroud of Turin is a burial shroud, a linen cloth woven in a 3/1 herringbone pattern, measuring 14 feet 3 inches in length and 3 feet 7 inches in width. It apparently covered a man who suffered the wounds of crucifixion in a way very similar to Jesus of Nazareth. And he has studied it and studied it. Will present a lot of scientific evidence. We talked to him on the radio 2 or 3 weeks ago, and wow, fascinating. So go to ministrydays.com to sign up. Underwriting for the Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They are at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, marriage and family therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Cipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Prayer is powerful. This is Bishop Jaime Soto from the Diocese of Sacramento. When we pray to God, we never pray alone. We are always making our prayer through Christ our Lord. We also have the assistance and the intercession of the angels and the saints and the powerful intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. So let us pray right now for an end to abortion in our country. Let us join together in the effort to pray 100 million memorares this year to end abortion and to protect the dignity of human life from the moment of conception to natural death. We pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petition, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
From the fear. I shall.